Hari Ibu
just goes in a line. It's linear. So if that was three, then it goes to zero, then one, two.
There's a lot of zeros.
That's why I said if you get it to work, you're actually doing good.
Well, I think I broke it.
Very, very delicate. Okay.
That's a power.
This one's UPS power?
No.
No, it's outside power. I think only the lights are UPS.
No, the light is UPS.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the fan is.
No, all the fans what do you call it? Outside. So if they work, then great. If they don't, it doesn't. Okay. Page 66. What? Even then, yes, even then. This is what Prahlad Maharaj actually states in Srimad Bhagavatam 7.5.30. But here, na Krishna, you don't want to be vidvan. You are not really after this Krishna intelligence. So, paratha, how will you listen to buddhe paratas tusa, he from whom this intelligence comes? Bhagavad Gita 3.42. For the same reason, Prahlad Maharaj continues, you cannot get it by your own self-realization or by talking with well-wishing associates. All you want out of life is to obtain to abandon yourselves to the demands of the senses. You seek physical pleasures in the darkest region of existence, where countless misdirected fools before you flock to scratch the itchings of the agitated senses, to chew the chewed, only to perish helplessly. You have some notion of progress, of something worth achieving as human beings, but it is all backwards. What your value is called bahir artha manina, which means it is not worth a human being's attention. Bahir artha manina means Bhagavat katha or not. You'll keep your minds busy with the hallucinatory search for artha in external temporary things. In other words, in aham ameti, I in mind, the I means the temporary body that was born. His disease grows older by the moment, and one day drop dead in his tracks. The mind means all the phantasmagoria around us that you imagine is related to, and therefore is possessible by the body of matter, the false self. As an artha, a life value, aham mameti is prized by the animals. But what is the good sense in arriving at such a conclusion? Can we expect animals to defend with logic and reasoning why they follow other animals into a ditch dug by hunters? Of course not. Prahlad Maharaj's conclusion is, such foolish men cannot be attracted towards the activities of the Supreme Powerful, who is actually the neutralizing measure for their foolish activities, unless and until they have the good sense to be guided by the great souls who are completely freed from material attachment. So, on our own, we won't get Krishna consciousness. By our associates, we won't get Krishna consciousness, means are the other materialists. It's only by the association of the devotees. So that's the whole point. When we when that is there, then it will work. But otherwise, it won't. Because I and mine, I, what I identify, and mine is what's connected with what I identify with. A devotee is blessed by a quality of faith called astikyam, footnote 38. In the Gita Bhashya, Sripad Ramanujacharya defines astikyam as, quote, the firm conviction in the truth of all things defined in the Vedas, which cannot be shaken by any reason whatsoever. Astikyam is firm conviction in this truth, which is to the following effect. Right? So in other words, that faith that the scriptures, what is said in scripture, that is what's truth, and that's where you'll find truth. Right? Just like that time in London when that one devotee was very disturbed about Prabhupada saying they didn't go to the moon. Right? And so he can say is, okay, maybe he doesn't agree with me, but why he's not agreeing with scripture. Right? Because that's astikyam. The scripture says that's what's truth. Right? So the effect of this astikyam is the Lord Vasudev, who is the highest person, is denoted by the expression Supreme Brahman. He is free from the slightest trace of all defects, right? So this element is Supreme Brahman. That goes back to Ramanuja, if not before. So you have Brahman, but then there's the Supreme Brahman. That's the person, right? So you have Brahman, part of the localized person, aspect of the Supreme Brahman, and then the Supreme Brahman. He is free of the slightest trace of all defects. He has innumerable host of auspicious qualities, such as knowledge, strength, and others, the excellence of which is limitless and which arise from his own nature. Right? So these qualities come from himself. Like ourselves, if we have good qualities, where did they come from? Right? Of course, Krishna, but you do good work, you develop those good qualities. So who arranged that for us? Right? Means the modes of nature are arranging, right? And so it's sanctioned by Krishna. You did the right work, you get the right results. But these are still belong to not us, right? They still belong to material energy, where they're borrowed from, right? So then, you know, it's just like, let's say you go to the gym, right? You're using one of the machines. Is it your machine now? No, it's borrowed from the place. You know, so you can say, yeah, he's really good at this or that. But the point is it all belongs to the place. So it all belongs to the material world. Now, devotee, because they're developing a connection with Krishna, it's actually quality of the soul that you're seeing, not the modes of nature. Does that make sense? So in other words, the engagement in devotional service becomes the quality of the soul. Non-engagement, that's the condition. Yes.
So the qualities are the same, it just depends on the connection with the Lord.
Yes.
So, because I'm not clear about, sometimes we say that devotees, they have good qualities.
Yes.
And those are the qualities of the soul.
Yes.
And in materialists, they, although it appears they have some good qualities,
yes,
it's not there, it's all borrowed.
It's all borrowed.
So what's the difference there?
Because the devotee, his intent is doing it with Krishna, so therefore he's working with the spiritualized sense, the spiritual mind, intelligence, everything like that. So that's coming from the nature of the consciousness of the soul, the qualities that the soul naturally has. The others are not identifying with that. They're identifying with the conditioning. So they're not using their own qualities. They're using the qualities of the body. You know what I'm saying? Is the soul of certain, let's say, has this material height, this material weight, has this particular, their number, you know, 6, you know, out of 10, you know, all these kind of things. No. So that means that the qualities they have, it's they're identifying with the body, so they're only the qualities of the gross and subtle body. Understand? But the devotee, because he's identifying with Krishna, now he's starting to use the spiritual qualities.
The then we can say that devotees, they have also material qualities.
Yes, so,
they,
so that's why it's mixed. It's
they
mixed.
Intelligent, this, that, it's all...
Yeah, so if they use it in the Lord's service, then that's spiritual. If they don't use it in the Lord's service, it's not. You know, it's like our famous potatoes. If you're cooking them for Krishna, then they're spiritual. You're not cooking them for Krishna, they're material.
Okay.
Does that make sense? So that's why the devotee, then in the beginning, that may have they be both are there, or the material is more prominent. You know, say, he's a nice guy. He joins. So he'll also be a nice guy. But the thing is now if he's engaging that in Krishna's service for his pleasure, then it starts to be actually the soul is manifesting these nice qualities. But if he's still identifying, yeah, I'm the nice guy. You know, others in the temple aren't the nice guy. Then it's still material. So it's just what you use. You know, it's just like the car. I am the car, or I'm using it for Krishna. So now it becomes Krishna's car. Because ultimately they're all coming from Krishna, but it's just that using in the service, then that becomes part of the natural qualities that are coming from Krishna. Right? So then they're connected with the soul rather than connected with the gross and subtle body. Does that make sense? So this is that subtle, it switches. This is where it becomes confusing because, well, you know, but no, but he was already good at business before. You know, he was good at money, good at management. But they weren't the qualities of the soul. Now using it for Krishna, now he's able to organize, because the real point is what is the point of business? What are the qualities of it? If you want to be successful, what do you have to have?
Control.
You have to have money. Anything else? Just
vision.
Determination. Because it's not. So all these are the qualities that are about you. So then that determination will develop, but this will be the determination of the soul, not of the gross body. I mean, the gross and subtle body.
So this determination will, for example, continue.
It will convert, just like you have one kind of money, you can convert it into another. So that's the thing, it can be converted. But it's not ours to begin with. That's why it's does that make sense? Yeah, because whatever nature the living entity has, it's still like Mother Jashoda, her motherly affection. Okay, but where does parental rasa come from?
Krishna.
He's a reservoir of rasa. But so the manifestation of that is coming through Mother Jashoda. So technically you could say is even that is Krishna. But the point is where is it allowed to be identified with? Where do we identify parental rasa? When we say give an example of parental rasa. What do we say?
Mother
Yashoda. We don't say Krishna. Right? Even though he's a parent, right? 16,108 queens, 10 sons in each. You know. So that's a few kids. Right? But we don't think of him so much as the father. You know what I'm saying? The example is Mother Yashoda. Right? It's just like, who killed everyone on the battlefield of Kurukshetra? Krishna. But who is the credit given to?
Arjuna.
Yeah, you understand? Arjuna sees that it's by Krishna's grace. Does that make sense? Yeah, so this is what's happening. So now that's identified with the soul, that belongs to the soul. Right? Because the soul being part and parcel of Krishna, then of course those qualities can manifest too, just like Krishna can manifest anything he wants anywhere. But then that becomes, part of the nature of that soul, so that's how they relate to Krishna as in that position of Ashraya. And then Krishna reciprocates as Vishaya. Does this make any sense? Yes.
Material bodies not being connected with Krishna, are they an impersonal manifestation of these qualities?
Yeah, they're just qualities of Brahman that are specifically there. So, in other words, they're aspects of the universal form. So thousands of heads, thousands of arms. One, there's thousands of Garbhodakshaya Vishnus. So that way you have unlimited hands in that. You're talking about the primary, and then that is then reflected into the material manifestation. So in that way also, again, there's unlimited.
And the devotional qualities, they're personal?
They're personal because it belongs to the person. The other one, they're generic. Like that. So there, it's applied, so you connect it to the person, but it's actually connected to the conditioning. It's not connected to... You know what I'm saying? It's just like the guy rolls up, in the big car next to you, and then, he's done it up a bit like that and revs it a bit, so you say, wow, that's powerful. But who's powerful, the car or the soul? Right? But in the material thing, you credit the soul that he's got like that, so he's...
He's got some power.
Yeah, he's successful. But actually it's not him or the man. He has money, but does he actually have money? Can he take... If it's yours, you can take it with you. If you can't take it with you, how do you claim it's yours? Yeah, so that's the whole thing, is that... So that's the point, is that... But on the spiritual platform, those qualities are identified with the soul. So therefore, the soul has good qualities. The devotees have good qualities. Materials can't have good qualities. Yes.
So Maharaj, what is meant by virtue? Because that you can take with you.
But what is that going with? According to here from Manu, no?
And Mahabharata.
Mahabharata. But what virtue are we talking about here? You do, yeah. Piety goes with you. It goes with the subtle body. But the particular form of it, that won't, you can't take with you. But the virtue itself goes. But the point is it's going with you in the Linga Sharir. But it's not the quality still of the soul. They go with you. Just like, you can take your bag with you. So, but is the bag you? No. So that's the... Yes.
So there's also difference between qualities of the soul and of Krishna, because he's the origin, and also opulences of the world. So opulences we don't have, as he has.
We have everything but small. So there may be there's a certain amount of... Just like opulences are still energy.
Yeah.
Right? So therefore then... Oh, okay, you were taking it like that, meaning you're talking back to quality and means the quality and then the energy that manifests it. You're looking at it that way.
Yeah, but also borrowed and then developed.
Means it's whatever goes along with the particular qualities that the soul develops, then naturally those opulences go along with it. Just like, let's say, someone has the qualities, but let's say then they're very good at music, or someone's very good at cooking, like that. So those opulences are there that go along with their particular mentality, so their particular service, like that. Like the cowherd boys, whether they can cook well or not, does it ever come up as a discussion? No. Even if they can. Have you ever heard Sri Dham is a fabulous cook? No, it just never comes up as a point of discussion, right? Because who's going to cook? Right? At home, the moms will cook. Out in the field, then Mother Jashoda's cooked. Does that make sense? So it's not a point that they may know or may not know. One of the best, I could say, connoisseurs of good food was one devotee who... he learned cooking just by, you know, as a kid standing there watching his mom cook. So he could tell you the most amazing thing. He just tasted it, tell you what it is, you know, tell you how to cook, how to improve, all the different spice combination. But he himself wasn't necessarily a practiced cook. But he could tell you everything that if you were a cook, you could do it. Because he just watched his mom. And like that, so many of you, I've seen the Indian gentlemen, they all know cooking because they watch the mom. So, you know, unless somebody's not there to cook, like then I've also heard of quite a few Indian gentlemen that somehow or another, when they got married, their wife didn't know how to cook, so they taught them how to cook. You know, but it's not necessarily they cooked before, they just knew from watching the mother. Does that make sense? So, it, therefore, it's not a quality that's important in the pastimes. Right? They should be clever, chivalrous, ability to laugh and, come up with clever things to do and play. That's important. You know, have that sense of friendship, that bonding, that's what's there. The gopis, then you hear about the 64 arts. Not that the boys don't have them. Just like Hanuman, you think of his musical ability. No, but he's one of the masters of music. You know, but you don't hear about it because it's not the prominence. So then, the opulence will be according to what works with the service, like that. And then, so they have particular qualities. So they're therefore naturally opulences go with that. Mm-hmm. You know, like the quality of Krishna, then there's the opulence with it. Yeah. Yeah, so always it goes together. The masculine and feminine elements always go together. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay, we were reading about Hastakyam. Okay, the Lord. Okay, the excellence of which, all the means... auspicious quality, he has innumerable hosts of auspicious qualities such as knowledge, strength, and others, the excellence of which is limitless, and which arise from his own nature. Right, so we have them because we're part of his nature, but we have them because it's his nature. We're only part of his nature. He is that which is to be known from the entire Vedas and the Vedanta. He alone is the only cause of the universe. He constitutes the support of the entire universe. He alone causes the activity of all things. And all the work enjoined in the Vedas constitutes his worship. When worshipped through different works that are appropriate and suitable, right, which means what's recommended in the Shastra and which is recommended for the individual to be doing. He bestows the results known as righteousness, wealth, fulfillment of desires, and final release. Right, so we see here is that qualities and opulences are granted by him. Because they are all him. What Shastra, Sadhu, Guru kindly offer to teach, that is precisely what devotees learn. As it is intended to be understood, that is exactly how the devotee understands it. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur informs us that the Chatushloki verses, the entire Bhagavatam in a nutshell, are characterized by the inconceivable achintya. Does that mean nobody in ordinary society will be able to comprehend any of it? No, of course not. Achintya is one of Lord Krishna's holy names, and Krishna is for everyone. Right. So, but how are they going to understand it?
Krishna revealing,
but how will he reveal?
Through the scriptures.
Through the scriptures, but then what scriptures? And then which form of this Bhagavatam? Yes, so in other words, when the materialist comes in contact with the devotee and hears Bhagavatam, then they can understand it. Just like Prabhupada said, it's on the market when his Bhagavad Gita as it is came out. There were over 700. Right? So, and since he's... Right, sorry. Yeah. So, but no one was becoming a devotee. Why not? Because they were getting Gita, but not in connection with devotees. So the chit potency was not there. Because it's not the letters, the ink, the grammar, this and that, that make the Gita, is that this is what carries the chit potency. And so, and then you can understand all these aspects of the chit potency. So that means it has to come through parampara. Does that make sense? Yeah.
So then that verse which Krishna enters in the heart, is it through the pure devotee?
Yes, it's through the pure devotee. That's why devotees, that's why the first offense is to blaspheme the devotees. Because you can say whatever you want, but it's the madhyamas who are preaching. The uttamas don't preach, the neophytes don't know how to preach. So it's the madhyama who preaches. So that means the uttama takes the mood of the madhyama, the neophyte takes the mood of the madhyama. Preaching means the madhyama. So who is preaching, you don't say bad things. Is that making sense? Yeah. So that's the whole point. The chit potency comes through them. Say what you want. You know, he's Bhakta Jose, how can this happen? It doesn't matter. You can say whatever you like. This is how it works. You know? So that's just how it works. It's the preachers. Not the Uttamadhapari, Nitya Siddhas, liberated, on and on like this. The whole list of what they have to be. But the point is all of them come as madhyamas. Why? Because that's the effective method. So now someone is, they fully realize madhyama, or, middle, or neophyte. So that's the whole point, is it still comes as madhyama. Right? So the point is the realization that can answer more, that conviction is more, that astikyam, all these things are greater. But the point is because it's preaching and it's authorized, there is potency there. If you say there's no potency there, unless there's the nitya siddha, uttamadhikari, pure devotee, liberated, all that kind of line, then that means you don't actually know what you're talking about. When you hear that, know that you're dealing with a neophyte. And know that you're dealing with someone who doesn't astik, because the point is, it's the power of the chit potency. That's how it's done. So the chit potency has its own power. Because otherwise, then again, it's karma. Unless you're a pure devotee, you can't preach. So then bhakti is based on karma. You understand? Bhakti is independent. So that's the whole point, is that it does have effect. It does work. So, yes? So when he does something bad, everybody connected with him falls down, right? When the new bhakta that made you a devotee bloops, then everybody connected with him then also goes mundane. Is that how it works? So then what's happening here? They're carrying it. So does that mean it gets rid of it? Right? What happens if the priest that did the marriage falls down? Do we redo the marriage? No. Why not? Because it's done, it's connected, right? What's the strength of the marriage? It's based on the power of the priest. Right? He says, by the power vested in me, he can say, now you're husband and wife. You can't say how you're going to deal, how successful you're going to be as husband and wife. Right? So it's going to be what you do with it. So the point is the connection is there. You've heard the knowledge. It has the power. Now it's what you do with it that's important. But we make it all about the externals. Why? Because of the neophyte mentality. That's why it happened. Does that make sense? So what? He fell down. Okay. So then it happens. Right? Jarabharat fell down. He was an Uttamadhikari. So unless you're on the platform of prema, he was also a pure devotee. So then that means, it means then in your definition of who can be a guru, then you have to drop the pure devotee and uttamadhikari and liberated. Because he was all three and he fell down. So now, of course, now you can leave Prema Bhakti, Prema Bhakta and Nitya Siddha. So now how are you going to judge who's a Nitya Siddha? Who's the Prema Bhakta? Because the point is the neophyte can't. The neophyte cannot see beyond their own nature. You can get some symptoms. That's why the Shastra gives the symptoms. Right? That faith in the scripture, they can defeat any argument. Right? Or they have that faith, though they can't always defeat every argument. Or when someone else defeats them or like that, then they get their faith gets disturbed. That's how you can tell. This other thing, just because you've decided, how did they decide? Oh, he fell down, therefore he was never a devotee. How does that work? So then who is a devotee? So then everybody then, by that definition, becomes a possible devotee, but we have to wait their whole life. And if they never fall down, then after they're dead, we can declare, yes, he was a pure devotee. So now he can become a guru, he can be a sannyasi, you know, we can offer that respect that was due to him. You know what I'm saying? Very, very, very not well thought out. You know what I'm saying? So I'm talking about those who are discussing it as an issue. I'm not talking about advanced devotees who are pointing out that yes, until you come to prema, you're not actually a devotee. Right? Does that make sense?
No, I'm saying yes, about the different
devotees. Preachers, yeah, but it happens, so.
No, that if they do, or some of them, somebody does something wrong, that's it's not that everybody has to be like inside that and not say, like for example, some problem with the children, like abuse or something like that. It's not like.
So it means no. The point is that if something's going wrong, that should be corrected, right? What we're talking about is their position. Are they still situated in devotional service? Are they still interested in devotional service? Are they still practicing? If they are, that's called, then they're still situated. That's what Krishna says, rightly situated. Right? It doesn't mean that you don't correct the things. You know, it's just like that one example. Then Pramod Krishna Maharaj was taking, they're supposed to go to the airport, so he takes a little rest before, like after lunch, he takes a little nap. You know, and then he's expecting the devotee to wake him up because they have to leave at 4 o'clock to go to the airport. He just sleeps right through the 6 because he was very tired. So when he woke up, then looks at, you know, why didn't you wake me up? No, but you're the pure devotee. You know everything, past, present, future, you know, pre-kala gyasa. So we figured you knew something we didn't know. Maybe the plane was late, and so therefore you were sleeping. Like this and that. You know, he just looks at him and says, you know, you idiot. He says, your duty as a servant is supposed to wake us up so that we can go. Not all this, you know, mystical, you know, like that. Does that make sense? So, the point, things have to go, but the thing is it should be based on Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. Right? Not that it's just we're functioning on the mundane platform of what is right and wrong. You know? And then what's the weight of right and wrong? You know, so something very minimal will make very big, and something very big will make very minimal. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, yeah, I think you understand what we, you can take this and make something with it. You understand? So the principle is it's not that one doesn't organize things, but the point is how do you organize? Where is law and order? Where is it situated? Is it situated in Dharma? Or is it situated in justice? Most people talk about justice. So that's not actually Dharma. That's not law and order. He did this. It's not justice, you know, like that, or... They want justice. Why? Because then they don't want themselves to have a situation where they're not going to be prosperous. It's not about what's the law on it. You know? And don't pull out the, you know, the nice one, you know, how you say, the really heavy ones. You know, it's like this. Oh, well, we should follow Manu. Yeah, but if the thief, he should cut off fingers. No, we can't do that. Okay, but they did this. Yes, yeah, so they're supposed to cut off the genital, hold it in their hands, and walk to the northeast till they drop dead. You know what I'm saying? So very selective here. Very selective. And these were two quotes from two different, you know, from devotees, you know. Like that. So it's just, they like to pick and choose as they like, you know, but what about, yes, what about, you know, ladies don't do yajna. What about that quote? If you're going to take this heavy quote, why not take the other one? You know what I'm saying? But we pick and choose. So that's not complete philosophy. Right? So that's the thing. It has to be based on Guru Sadhana Shastra. One is astikya because one has faith that this works. This is how it works. There's a reason for it. Does that make sense? Yeah. He has a similar name, Atindriya, which means beyond the senses, but that doesn't mean he will not reveal himself to our senses. That depends on how we use our senses. Bhideya, in opposition to Krishna, or Abhideya, in concordance with Krishna. Srila Prabhupada explained this nicely in Tehran on 14th March 1975. Prabhupada. So society recognizes the sense gratification, whether it is bideya or abideya. Indian man, what is bideya or abideya? Prabhupada. The Bhagavad Gita says, sukham atyantikam yat tad atindra grahyam. Bliss, which is supreme, that is to be appreciated by atindriya. Atindriya means beyond the senses. So those who are indulging the senses... The Tantra indulges the senses. Is that spiritual? That is not spiritual. That is material. Indian man. You have to use the material, all the potential. Prabhupada, no, Atindriya. You haven't got to use this material. Enjoy the spiritual senses. But sense gratification has to not only stop, but undergo tapasya. Tapo divyam. Just like a man is diseased. He wants to eat, but due to the disease, he cannot eat. So first of all, you have to cure the disease. Then your eating will be pleasure. And if you want to eat in the disease condition, then the taste will not be proper. You cannot eat. A man suffering from jaundice, you give him sugar candy, he will taste it bitter. The same man, when he is cured, he will taste the sugar candy as very sweet. Tapo divyam yena putraka shudyed satvam. You have to purify your existence by tapasya. And tapasya means stop. Stops. Material sense gratification. So that's the whole point. You're controlling the sense that you're stopping that. That's the tapasya. Right? Does that make sense? Right. Then the results of that is given to someone else. That's sacrifice. Right? And austerity. And austerity means that you're controlling your senses in the way that's meant for you to control the senses. Right. Different people have different duties in which they're supposed to control the senses. So, yes. Yes.
Means Abhideya is connecting to Krishna. Abhideya
means not connected to Krishna. And so, an Abhideya means not connected to Krishna.
Yeah. Ah, means Krishna.
Huh?
Krishna says he's off in Bhagavad Gita.
Yeah, that's right. Nice. Okay. See, sense gratification has to stop. What are they doing in the spiritual world? It's all about pleasing Krishna's senses. So it's not the senses that are the problem. It's that when it's for us, it's sense gratification. When it's for Krishna, it's called devotional service. That's the whole point, because then you're dealing in relationship. You can't be dealing in relationship if it's about yourself. I mean, of course, you have the "I'll scratch your back, you scratch mine" kind of, you know, it works out. but it's not exactly relationship. Right? It's a, what do you call it?
Extended selfishness.
But there's convenience, or there's words for it, which means that it, you know, the relationship is based on it. It works for everybody.
Congenial.
Is that the okay. Does that make sense? So it works for everybody, therefore. So, but here is that it's about pleasing Krishna's senses. We try to please our own senses. It doesn't work. Right? We've tried it. It's not work. Because the senses are borrowed. The potency of the senses, the activities, it's all Krishna. And then we're going to use all that not for Krishna. And it's going to work. Because what is happening? Where is the sense coming from? Where is rasa coming from? Right? It's Krishna. He's the reservoir of all pleasure. All pleasure, not most of it, or a good part of it, or unlimited amount, but there's a small amount that he's not. It says all pleasure. Right? So that means if you want pleasure, it has to be in connection with him. If it's not in connection with him, you won't get pleasure out of it. That's why something has to, the elements are dealt with properly, the activity is properly. How you connect it with the goal or something you have to be doing, and then you get a touch. But only for the moment that touch is going on. Does that make sense? You know, let's say it's hot outside, right? And you touch something cool, right? How long do you appreciate that coolness on your hand?
As long as
you touch. As soon as you stop touching, it stops. That's how sense gratification works. If you're connected in a way that it works. Now let's say the block of ice is, you know, 20 meters over that way. So do you get the benefit?
No.
Like that. So there's a process. You actually, according to the mechanics, use it properly. Then you experience the sense, experiences the sense object. So that means it's still Krishna. So anybody's getting anything, it's that, it's still connected to Krishna, because he is the paraphernalia, he is the process, he is the result. So there isn't anything else. So work.
So following the same principle, we should be always connected with Krishna. As soon as we are disconnected, we have to connect to something else.
Yes, like that. Basically, it just means not being connected. The blender is plugged in, or it's not plugged in. You can move it all around the house, put it in this. Maybe it doesn't work because it's not in the wrong room, or maybe it's inside. Maybe we should take it outside. You know, it's a camping blender or something. Or it's a, you know, I say. What's it called? Who does this? Outside enthusiasts. Yeah, adventure blender. So it needs to be out there. Maybe that didn't work. We'll put it in the canoe. Okay, we didn't like that. We'll put it in the rowboat. You know, no, it needs to be on one of those big, you know, 100-foot galleons like that. You know, that didn't work. Okay, let's, you know, put holes in the sails, paint it black, and, you know, give it a mysterious feel. Then it, you know, so it still doesn't work. You know, I'm saying I can paint it different colors. I can, you know, we can all be around and. You know how you say enthuse it. You know, instead of just saying stupid blender not working, y'all, come on, you know you can do it. Yeah, come on, yeah, like this. But it won't work. So that's the whole thing. Until it's connected, it just doesn't work.
All right. So the terminology is so-called happiness, would be because it's only a rasa between Krishna's potent energy. But this soul is not really involved in that.
No, we're just there observing it. You know, it's just like a drama. Is it real? No, we get something from watching it, but we don't actually have anything. Right? But when it's connected to Krishna, then it becomes nice. See, that's the whole thing, is all we have to do is connect everything from Bideya to Abideya. That's all. That's what we're trying to do. Not connected to Krishna, to connected to Krishna. So that's the whole. The Abideya means the connection. Right, you have the two the masculine and feminine principle. Then you connect it. That's Abhideya. When it's not, that's Bideya. And then we're saying that this is going to be great. You know, because it's connecting with the person, not connecting with the elements. You know, it's like the Cowherd Boys. What's the nice thing? Being out in the forest and that with the cows and everything and no parents? Or is it because Krishna's there? Yeah, because now, are they willing to go and be in Mother Jashoda's house with Krishna and behave themselves and act properly? And yeah, because the point is about Krishna, not about being crazy. Tapa. On this note, we shall now examine the unfolding of the Achinta Bhedaveda Tattva philosophy, verse by verse, as Sri Krishna speaks the Chatushloki to Brahmadev. Chatushloki 1. Sri Krishna declares that he alone existed before the creation. Moreover, the creation is composed of him and nothing else. Which will exist after the withdrawal of creation is also him. He is the source of all. Because he's there before the creation, he expands the creation, he's still there. That's important. Because otherwise, then the Maya body's concept is that when there's a transformation of the Brahma Parinamavad, then there is no Brahman afterwards. It's made up of all the living entities. You know? So, because their point is 1 minus 1 is 0. Right? They don't understand 1 minus 1 is still 1. 1 plus 1 is 1. They don't understand the actual transcendental. So technically, according to that philosophy, there's a slight weakness until every living entity goes back and is liberated in Brahman, then no one really gets the proper effect.
Jews say the same. Jewish people say the same.
Until all 600,000
go back, then God is not complete.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. So that must be even more of an annoyance now, since those 600,000 are divided into so many millions. And so even less is coming at one point. Oh, I see. So that's why they're so worried about getting everybody. Yeah, this has some weakness.
How do I find it? Not even how they're worried about
that. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah. So you're saying it's superior, right?
Yes. Yeah.
But if someone gets converted in the way.
That's bad. Okay. Okay. So he's there, and so that conversion is still, he's separate, and he's the creation. And when the creation winds up, it'll still be him as the original person. So it's important, this that. So this one, the first verse, is basically where all philosophies go wrong. Right? They discuss him beyond, or they discuss within. But they can't work with both of them together, as we discussed this morning. Nevertheless, he is a person distinct from all that is generated from, maintained by, and absorbed into his personal form. Therefore, that's why he's there before, he's there during, he's there after. But the material manifestation is created, maintained, and destroyed. Right? Though it's his potency. Chatushloki 2. The perception of something of value that has no connection to the Lord, right, because it's videya, is unreal. Because there is no such thing. Everything being the Lord, as he said, there's no such thing as bideya, that it's not the Lord. So it's illusion that we think it's bideya, and it's therefore it's ours. Right? Everything is abideya, it's all the Lord's to be engaged in the Lord's service.
Only the Tathasta Shakti can be under.
Only the Tathasta Shakti can?
Under illusion.
Only the Tathasta can be under illusion. Means that this rock is not under any illusion. Right? So the external energy is not under illusion. Right? Yoga Maya transferring into Mahamaya is the same person, it's just duties. Are you managing the spiritual world or the material world? Right? The Lord doesn't come under illusion except for through his own potency, by his desire. So it's only the living, the jivas can do that. So that's just the way they are. The jivas, being so small and being on the edge, they can see both. The internal potency is not on the edge, so they don't see both. They only see Krishna. Does that make sense? Since you're having this complete aspect, if you have one, you have to have the other, and then you have to have the connection. Right? So that's us. You know, so we adjust with who we are, and just, you know, what's the point? Then it makes it easier. Because then we're not, one, we're not God, we're not even internal potency. We're not external potency. We're only left with one option. Yes, we're marginal. And then we can either be in the fire of the internal potency in blissful devotion, or in the fire of the material world, which is not necessarily known for its, you know, the fire in the material world is not seen as a good thing. Right? You know, unless you have one of those, how you say, you know, those, what do you call it, stars upside down hanging around your neck, then you might see it like that until you get there. Then they'll kind of change the tune. Right? Yeah, okay. The perception of something of value that has no connection to the Lord is unreal. What is thus perceived as an abhasha, a reflection of the Lord's personal glory that he makes visible in the darkness of reason. Darkness of ignorance, excuse me. This abhasha is Atmano Mayam, the Lord's illusory energy. That makes sense. So, what we're seeing is the reflection. Because it's either you're looking at the Lord, or you're looking away from the Lord, so you're seeing his qualities reflected on the external energy. Because it's still him. What's the shadow? The shadow is still the form of the person, just reflected on the earth. You know, or in this case, in water. So it's still made out, the reflection of the tree is still made out of the tree. But the point is there's nothing there. So if you see it, it's in relation to the tree, then you won't try to enjoy the fruits and flowers separately, because there's nothing there. What are you going to enjoy? So that's the whole thing.
When we come to Krishna consciousness, even though we may be dealing with the inferior energy, we're no longer really dealing with the abhasa.
No, we're not dealing with the abhasa. You know, is it? Or the point is, even if you're dealing, you're getting the real effect. Just like, let's say, a person is reflected in the mirror, and I'm talking to the reflection and not talking to the person who's reflected. How much benefit do I get? But if I can talk to the person through the reflection. So that's the whole thing. Is if the energy is used in the Lord's service, we get the benefit as if we're dealing with spiritual energy. But if we don't, then it doesn't work out. Right? That makes sense. So that's the whole point. Is we're trying to deal with the qualities of Krishna, not connected with Krishna. So that's the problem. Yeah? That's 34. Chatur Shloki 3. The Lord has an inconceivable relation with his material energy. He is both within it. Okay. Within it in all of its particularities of manifestation, and yet he is distinct and aloof from it, as he mentioned in the first one. But now you're bringing out one, just the first one, you're bringing out just the existence aspect. Now you're bringing out the personal aspect. While the second one, you're bringing out the value aspect. Right?
This one's bringing up the person.
Yes, the person. Right. So you're getting sat, chit, and ananda. Like that. The Lord has it. Okay. The example he gives Brahma to illustrate his meaning is of Mahabhutas, like earth or water. Bhumi, the earthly element, solid matter, pervades creation, is evident in countless particular shapes, such as the solid ingredients of the bodies of living creatures, bones, teeth, hard tissues like cartilage, etc. Yet Bhumi, in its elemental feature, the solid earth beneath the feet, is ever to be distinguished from other particular forms that it pervades. Similarly, the vast waters of the ocean are ever to be distinguished from water's pervasive feature as the liquid ingredients of the bodies of living entities. So, Chaturshloki 4. So he's pointing out is how he's different. Means just because he's there, he's separate, like that. Just it enters but doesn't enter. So that's the thing. He enters because it is his potency, but he doesn't enter because he is a person. He's still separate. Chaturshloki 4. We are made by Srila Prabhupada to understand from his purport to this verse that, quote, to unfold the mystery of bhakti yoga, as it is explained in the previous verse, is the ultimate stage of all inquiries or the highest object for the inquisitive. Everyone is searching after self-realization in different ways. By karma yoga, by jnana yoga, by dhyana yoga, by raja yoga, by bhakti yoga, etc. To engage in self-realization is the responsibility of every living entity developed in consciousness. One who is developed in consciousness certainly makes inquiries into the mystery of the self, of the cosmic situation, and of the problems of life, in all spheres and fields, social, political, economic, cultural, religious, moral, etc., and in their different branches. But here the goal of all such inquiries is explained. In other words, this final verse of Chaturshloki Bhagavat is Sri Krishna's personal explication of the previous three verses. Explication, a synonym for explanation, is etymologically related to words like plate, to weave, apply, display, employ, and reply. Srila Prabhupada certainly implies here, imply being yet another relative of the word explicate, that in verse 35, Lord Krishna announced to the universe the perichoresis. They couldn't just put a K? couldn't be a K. Or just a C, but do they have to put a CH? It's generally a CH.
What does it mean?
Yes, what does it mean?
There is a footnote on your page.
There is a footnote. Ah, okay. Lord Krishna announced in the universe the perichoresis of a joyful autoptic truth. Autoptic truth. That is to be found only atop the Empyrean peak of Vedic revelation. Okay. Footnote 39. The word perichoresis is a theological term. It means dancing around. Over-intellectualized controversies about Bideya, Obeda, and Abheda are most blissfully resolved by perichoresis in kirtan. The word aureate means golden. Autotopic means self-obvious. Empyrean means the home of light. Yes, of course. Okay, so the dancing around of a joyful, golden, self-obvious truth that is to be found atop the peak, the home of light of Vedic revelation. In other words, Krishna.
Empyrean is the meaning of light. The highest level, the topmost abode.
Oh, okay.
And the term perichoresis is used by Christians to talk about the
angels on the head of a pin.
No. Oh, okay. God as the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit being as one yet distinct.
Oh, okay, so they're trying to hand it, it's just a day to day.
Yes.
Okay.
The interpersonality of it all.
Okay. No, he said this is the level he can discuss, but who does he talk with? So here we just got one sentence, but otherwise he can talk about that easily.
We're probably
getting
a lot of blank looks. Yes.
Yeah. Means he'd have to be talking to basically a theologian to be able to talk like this. The answer to the question, who or what is God, are the words from verse 35. Tata teshu na teshvaham. I am within every created thing, and yet I am not. This directly means that the absolute truth is the transcendental form of Lord Govinda, and indirectly means that everyone else is the servant and thus one with him on his terms. Now, in verse 36, Krishna goes even further. He explicates for Brahma the praxis of that truth, inviting all living beings to partake in it. This is most interesting indeed, as Sukadeva Goswami will explain in the next chapter. Vedic Shastra sometimes only indirectly points to the truth by hints that all living entities are one with the Lord in their eternal relationship of service.
Right.
Of course, through the eternal servant part of the Sambandha may be muted in the Vedas because it is the secret of all secrets.
Right.
So this is what's talked about technically by Vishnu Swami and Ramanujacharya, Vishishta Dvaita, Vishuddha Dvaita. Right, it means that special oneness means of the oneness of the living entities of the Lord based on their being eternal servants. Right, so the position or the mood of that.
Does that make sense?
But that is, as he said, that's actually a secret in the Vedas. So it's not caught. So the materialist will study the Veda and then they'll come up with impersonal philosophy. They can't come up with how there's one and difference at the same time. Because even here, as we said, the attempt at achintaveda-veda-tattva, they can't work it out. So anything that points too strongly as one or too strongly as different is actually removed from the scriptures. Rather than the principle being here, it's based on scripture. So therefore, you try to understand it relates there. What I can't understand, I remove from scripture. So that's not a good method. Popular, but not good. Therefore, you know, the principle, we don't remove things from Prabhupada's purport because we don't understand them. Right? But Chaturshloki Bhagavata clearly is not satisfied to remain silent and mysterious while countless souls are victimized by the age of Kali. Srila Prabhupada draws our attention to the Chaturshloki's implicit, hence esoteric, and yet explicit, hence practicable message in these two sentences of 36, purport to 36. Implicit. The Lord is situated in the hearts of all living entities as Paramatma, and He is controlling all of them in the material world under the agency of His external energy. Therefore, it is clearly mentioned that the Lord is the supreme controller and that the living entities are controlled by the Lord. Explicit. In the same Bhagavad Gita, 18:65, the Lord directs as follows. Manmana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru. Mame vaishasi satyam te patjane priyosi me. It is clear from this verse of the Bhagavad Gita. Oh, it blinks. That the direction of the Lord is that one should be God-minded. A devotee of the Lord, a worshipper of the Lord, and must offer all obeisances unto the Lord. By so doing, the devotee will undoubtedly go back to Godhead, back to home. Right, so that's the point, is that you're going to... The Lord is in the heart, He's controlling everything, so you should see that. And by therefore seeing that, you should follow His direction, being absorbed in the Lord, be a devotee, worship, and offer obeisances. Therefore, directly, indirectly, one, you see.
Yes. The implicit is the basis of the explicit.
You can say, from this side, it's the explicit that's the basis on that side.
Okay.
Because there it's that it's not about that He is in the heart.
Yes.
Or you could say is He's in the heart of the living entity by love, rather than here. It means, in other words, by love, the Lord is in your heart. Here, it's by His love that He's in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
It's that we don't have that love, so we don't see. That's why He says Paramatma, only localized. Right? But when you have that same love, then you're dealing with Bhagavan. As Srila Prabhupada writes in the opening sentence of the 36th purport, the ultimate stage of all inquiries, or the supreme objective of the inquirer, is to, quote, unfold the mystery of bhakti yoga, end quote. Until this mystery is completely unfolded, the service the soul renders to Krishna by philosophizing how he is one and different from everything remains mixed with jnana yoga. This is confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam 3:32-32. Philosophical research culminates in understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead. After achieving this understanding, when one becomes free from the material modes of nature, he attains a stage of devotional service. Either by devotional service directly or by philosophical research, one has to find the same destination, which is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right, so now, because we're coming to here, now we can afford to deal with these aspects. It's subtle here. Okay, philosophical research culminates in understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So if by analyzing what the scriptures are saying, one has to come to the position of that the Supreme Lord is the ultimate goal of all processes. Right? The Supreme Person, the Supreme Worshipable Object, everything. Then it comes freed from the modes of material nature. Now, what does this mean? Because this can be taken in a whole bunch of ways, as you know, the first part of the discussion came up. Because how will we take this free from the modes?
Liberated.
Yes, liberated. But what do we mean by that?
Brahma-bhuta.
Right? So, I mean, that's of course our nice terms, but what we're saying here is, how does the neophyte look at this statement?
Pure devotee.
Yeah, it means pure devotee who is beyond the modes means that there is no dealing with the modes, right? So, but what does it mean? It means that what you're doing connected to Krishna, so there's no modes, because the modes control everything here. The mechanics are run by the modes. You're not going to get out of that. Does that make sense? But the point is because it's connected to Krishna, there are no modes. There's no effect of the modes, right? In other words, the modes can free you, or the modes can bind you. But how will that happen? Means if you're going to get a result, there must be action. So the action is how you deal with the modes. So free from the modes means free from being controlled by them. So when you engage in devotional service, you're free from the modes. So even the neophyte devotee is doing something to please Krishna. At least at that moment, he's free of the modes. Therefore, it's devotional service. Right.
If you feel like he's free from having to do it, to react to that impetus, for example?
That's there, but the point is he's engaging. He's singing for Krishna, dancing, or doing something, you know, decorating the temple, or, you know, and he's doing it to please Krishna, so that's there. But the point is the neophyte means there'll be not more of bideya and less abideya, right? At least on the internal. External, it will be there. Madhyama will be more balanced, and uttama means that the predominance is about Krishna. Then when it comes to prema, then it's only about Krishna.
So
yeah.
Bideya for us is mixed. That's what we call mixed.
Yes. So that's what's there. Because the point is the soul is the soul, Krishna is who he is, devotional process. It's just that we mix in, we don't see it connected to Krishna. So that's why the result is the most important. If the result is for Krishna, even if we're doing it and we're worried about what people are going to think, and if they think that, you know, it's like you say you're dressing the deity, and you're worried about what people are going to come up and tell you, wow, that's so nice and wonderful, and we really appreciate this, and you know what I'm saying, like that. But the point is, since the result is to please Krishna, it's still devotional service, but it's mixed because it has these other elements you want also. Does that make sense? So that's the point. You get both. You know. So now, what will the material energy, knowing that this is what's happening, what will material energy do?
Offer you help, right?
That's one way, as if it wants to go away. But what's the other way? What's to really get you going?
To take you away.
Yeah, it means no one praises at all. So, yeah. Yeah. No one prays at all, because either because it was mixed, it didn't come out that great, or it came out great, but just at that time that something else happened, and everyone's attention turns there, and then nobody is. You're standing there looking at the deities, waiting for everyone to come over, and they're all in the, you know, doing something else. You know, does that make sense? Yeah, Krishna's pretty expert. He knows how to do these things really well. Okay, so when one becomes free from the material, he attains the stage of devotional service. So the point is unsteady means you attain that stage of devotional service, you know, not, it's not stable. So sometimes it's there, sometimes it's not. Madhyama means pretty much it's there, occasionally it's dropped. Yes?
We talk about more external or internal. What I mean
either way.
Because sometimes external people, due to their conditioning and moral goodness, they can be very steady, doesn't matter what they do.
But the point is what makes a devotional service, the activity or the intent?
The intent.
So that means that it'll be the internal.
But by habit.
Yes, but the point is if the intent's not there, still there's a mix.
Where's the mix going to go?
It's the consciousness.
So when we say,
in other words, the person's nice because he's got the conditioning of niceness. So he engages that in Krishna's service, great, but if he thinks, I'm nice, you know, why is it I'm nice, everybody else is not nice, what's going on here? So he goes and looks for another place, you know, and down the road, you know, there's the local church is giving out, you know, food to poor people, and they're nice. You know what I'm saying? So that's where you see. Is it stable? Is it there? Come back after some time, are they still nice? Or because everybody else is not nice, then they're not nice now. Does that make sense? So that way you can see what is beyond the modes that became devotional service and what's not. So the activity, you know, it's just a matter of whether you get it to go beyond the modes. So if it's for Krishna, it's beyond the modes. If it's not for Krishna, then it's within the modes. So does that make sense? So that's why we could say, because Madhuri's question before is, what happens if the preacher, they fall down? So is there any meaning to all this? No, means what they did before. Naturally, if they fell down, that has significance, that has value. We already covered that in the second verse of the chapter Shloki. Now this has value, right? You know. Now we're talking some solid gossip here, right? You know, this is going to keep everyone busy for at least a couple of weeks, right? You know, we got some good conversations happening here. You know. So the point is that, but was there any value to what they did before? Yes, but that's because we have a higher understanding. I know that in the 70s, even, I'm not sure, I think it just petered out because people didn't worry about it. But it was a very popular thing, is that someone said, let's say that you have somebody's kirtans, you always listen to their kirtans, it's great. If the day that they blew, immediately everyone doesn't listen to their cassettes. Huh? Hey, I mean, that's there. The neophytes still do this stuff. You know, like that. So the point is that then we're saying it had no meaning, no value.
But can we say that?
So that means Maya is more powerful than devotional service. And who says like that? Right? Yeah, Maya body. So that the illusion is greater. So therefore God is deified and put beyond, and then around here then the devil is the man.
Point that you can just throw out, they're disconnected. But can we say also that they were attracted and inspired by the person?
Right.
Like the way he preaches, the way
right.
chants, preaches yeah. more important than chanting.
No, both are good. Because the point is that you preach, you're supposed to chant. So they can give an example by chanting. But
I mean, the voice is nice.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So this doesn't go away so fast. But when they do that for them, because the person and his hold on is the same, they identify.
Yes.
That's why they're not inspired anymore, so it's natural.
Yes, but the point is where is the feminine nature stable? On its own?
Mm-hmm.
It has to be connected to the masculine, so that means connected to Krishna.
So they find somebody else who's connected to be inspired.
That's there. But it doesn't mean that whatever was of value before, even if you don't listen, but one was inspired, one got benefit, that has to be appreciated. Does that make sense? That much is there.
Okay.
But we're saying is no, whatever they did before is useless. That's not that, because the taste is, you know, whatever it is, that's another thing. You know. And given time, then no one worries about it.
Push that is sometimes manifested, oh, you need to get reinitiated. That seems to be based on the idea that whatever was there is...
Yeah, it's just like, so, that means I would say it's because it's a samskar, then yes, we should do all the things. It means what about the people who install the deities? If they go away, then we should reinstall the deities. You know, all the marriages have to be redone. You know? So that's the whole point. Is samskar means it's an impression. It's been done. Otherwise, if it goes, you know, it's just like this, you know, this is how you could say, yes, the samskar has to be redone, right? The marriage is there, 10 years later, you know, husband and wife are there, you know, sleeping, and then during the night, the priest who married them, he blew. So when they wake up in the morning, they look at the other person, and who are you? You know, what are you doing here, you know? Like that. Then you could say, yes, now they'll have to get remarried. But it doesn't seem to work like that.
So if it does, then that's the...
That's it. No, that happens after 6 months. That's not after 10 years. Yes, who is this person?
No, that's after 4 years. You
get... Oh, that's another one. Yeah, that one also. Yeah. But at that time, I don't think anybody wants to redo the marriage. You know? Yes. Okay. Okay. Either by devotional service directly, by practical, or by philosophical research, one has to find the same destination, which is the Supreme Lord. So either you hear devotional service, you do it, or by analyzing, then you see it's connected to Krishna, and then you do devotional service. In any case, you have to come to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yes.
So can we say it mentions both karma, yoga, and yada yoga? It
doesn't matter. As long as you get to that Krishna is the person you're supposed to be connected to, then it works.
Then you propose?
How do you mean drop both?
Engage in bhakti yoga directly.
But is there activities in bhakti yoga?
Yes.
Is there knowledge in bhakti yoga?
Yes.
Is there remembrance of the Lord? So, in other words, as karma or jnana, that is just activities and knowledge not connected to Krishna. Karma yoga, jnana yoga, then you can either use it in its pure sense, meaning the activities and knowledge of devotional service, or you can mean it that they're engaging their activities or the knowledge because that's the condition. Does that make sense? So these terms can be used on the platform of pure devotional service or mixed devotional service. So that's why you have to see the context. So, because some will take that karma yoga means it's mixed. No, karma yoga just means activities of devotional service. Now the activity is proper. Now let's say they're doing kirtan for the deities. Is that an activity recommended? Okay, now what if their mentality is they're thinking about how everybody thinks their kirtan's great?
Mixed.
It's mixed. So the point is what they're doing is recommended. So the activity is karma yoga because it's doing the right thing. But their mentality is mixed, therefore then that's the karma aspect, right? They're doing it to please the Lord, they're doing what's recommended, that's the yoga part.
Sometimes we see that, especially in management, they try to correct it by removing the activity.
And yes, but then if you keep doing that by the neti-neti process, you end up with nothing. So the whole point is if they can't, the only reason to remove the activity is if one cannot understand how to work with it. Does that make sense?
But it seems people don't understand if you don't explain.
That's the whole point, but then you have to have knowledge and you have to understand the process. The easy thing is to remove it because I feel I'm doing something. Right, I've done something external. If I just explain it to them, I remember one time someone was asking, you know, about, you know, punishing the kids. And so he said, well, we'll first explain it to them. And all that, and if that works, then you're done. If not, then they do some menial service. Like that, because then by that service, then it purifies the heart, then they'll be able to understand it. Of course, this was to an irate parent who they felt that one boy who was not their kid had done something to their kid, and so therefore, what's going to be the punishment? Huh? Yeah, it means remove that parent and his kid from the school, right? Yeah. But so the point comes down is that they're looking for this, so they're thinking just you're preaching, you're that nothing's happened. See, that's the problem, is something's got to happen, right? You know, burning at the stake, you know, at least in the stocks where we can throw cabbages and old tomatoes. You know, something has to be there. Otherwise, before the guys are drawn and quartered, but there's one other thing. There's one other thing that they do for that's involved. There's three things. Oh, hang, drawn, and quartered, or something like that. So you know, the point is you know, what does it take? But it feels like it's more. I mean, hang the guy, you know, he's dead in a few seconds. You know, we quarter him. He's also, you know, he's dead. You know, like this. So you have to drag it out that people really feel something's happening. Does that make sense? So that's the whole thing, is that unless it's extreme, we don't feel something's happened. Unless it's gross, we don't understand the linger shurir, and definitely not the karma shurir. So that's the general thing, is you remove it. But the point is you have to educate. Then and put them in situations how they can use it properly. Now if that's if it's their duty and they have the ability. Right? In other words, if they don't have the ability and it really is a disturbance, then better they do something else. Right? You know, it's like, you know, you have plenty of cooks, and somebody wanted to cook, but they're really bad, and they just can't learn. Better they do something else, you know. They can cook at home, you know, practice and stuff like that. Like that. So, does that make sense? But, if it's a matter of they have the ability, they have the nature, but they're too distracted by the previous application of that in the mundane, then you might remove it until the heart's purified where it can be done, developed again. Right? So that's the principle of the brahmacharya. We've been in the material world since time immemorial, right? He's grown up with his mother. So now he spends time away from the world of women. Right, and then in that he gets trained how to deal properly with it. And then he can, after that, get married again, and now deal, you know, in the proper way. Does that make sense? So he can be in the masculine position rather than the feminine position. Does that make sense? Okay. So it's the same thing. But this idea that just because you removed it, you solved the problem, because he's not in the home, he's at the school. Now you've solved the brahmacharya is now complete. You know, it's training, association. That's the whole thing. So we come up with these things. These are very good, but these are like the medieval rabble-rousing crowd. Because they really feel something's happening. You know what I'm saying? That means you have ladies sitting there. They're sitting there with a guillotine cutting off heads, and there's ladies sitting there in their chair knitting, making a sweater, you know, or something. How do you do that? I mean, it's not the knitting. You know, just saying, how do you put them together? But I'm just saying, you know, it's just a past. It's something to keep you busy, you know? It's like... You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole. It's a difficulty. You know, it's that we feel the grossest, and then something is going on. So this other, that's the point. If you reform the soul, that's the main principle. Someone's done something wrong, we're eternally damned. Where does the eternal damnation come from? Because if we just say that yes, it's if they can be reformed, then that means anybody could do wrong, and then I could be reformed. You know? So that's the point. So the only reason I'm not doing it is because then there'll be such a reaction. But then everybody ends up, you know. however it is, you know, on the guillotine there. Mm-hmm. So, yes.
It seems from what you're saying that the difficulties to be personal, that's coming from
yes.
the
is coming because point because from Dharma. What's the point? Ashwatthama. Now he's done something you would consider not good, right? The term Prabhupada uses is abominable. But is he now not a Brahmin?
He continues
to be a Brahmin. You know, does that make sense? That's the difficulty that those who don't follow the Vedic culture Dharma. You know, whose life is not based on dharma, but is based on justice, can't deal with. It takes higher consciousness. It takes more training to be able to accommodate that. Yes?
If you talk about Ashwatthama, technically, wouldn't it be very wrong to kill him and what he has done?
If at the time he's killing the sons and you come in and he fights and you kill him, then there's no problem because he's an aggressor. But the problem is after they go and catch him, he's not an aggressor anymore. He was an aggressor. But then to say, oh, if he was a Brahmin, he never could have done that. The point is the modes of nature, anything can happen. Brahma's chasing after his daughter. That's why these examples are given, so that you can understand things go wrong. Then how did the four Kumaras deal? They said, okay, you know, this lifetime you can't be Lord Brahma anymore. No, they just said this. This is what you know. This is not wrong. Change it, and he did. So that's the whole point. Is that where is it coming from? From Dharma, because that is the nature. That's how he can be engaged. Now, someone can only be purified by engaging the nature. So, if the person is a manager, he does something wrong. You can't remove him from management. You may adjust the management situation. But you don't remove, because otherwise how will he be fully engaged? The person's a cook, you know, but then you find that he's in the kitchen with, you know, the lady cutting stuff, the vegetables, like that. But the point is he's a cook.
Change the lady to a man.
Yeah, change the lady to a man. get a real tough old, like, you know, bring in a Russian babushka, you know. Yeah. You know, with and she specifically rolls chapati. So, you know, that big roll.
Well, it just was happening to Kananda, right? He was a treasure, and from that he came back to a foundation.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe. I don't know that.
He didn't want to describe.
Oh, man. Could be. The point is that's what they can do. Now have they learned from it? Have they that? And you're smart. You see that, you know, they deal in, you know, that there's control so that can't happen. But this idea is you just remove somebody and now I've done something. That's any child can do that. That's the whole point. Any child can do if someone's done something wrong, remove them. You don't need intelligent people, mature people, trained people. You just need kids. You know? And if they say no, but if we don't, then everybody will get upset. One, who is everybody? It means five of their friends on Facebook. You know? And two, is that where is the preaching spirit? So they as managers are only managers or not preachers? So how can they lead a preaching movement? The preacher is the highest, not the manager. So then how are they going to do this? So that's the whole point. It's a useless system, and it's only made trouble as long as devotees have used it. And the point is it's not going to get any better. As long as they keep using it, it's still going to create. Because then the point comes down to this. One has been in the material world since time immemorial. Can he get any shelter in Krishna consciousness? That's the only place he can get shelter. Now, if you do something wrong and you'll be eternally damned, then where's the shelter in Krishna consciousness? So then why should anybody commit themselves to fully engaging in a service? Because if at any point you do something wrong, you're history. So therefore, why will anybody commit? Why would an intelligent man surrender to such a process?
That's the message.
Yeah, so that's the message. Not, yeah, we have to send a message here. That's the message they sent. Not that I am committing myself, and if I make a mistake, the Vaishnava is there and going to try to help and try to work this out and try to make me situate properly so I do it right. Not that it's okay that I'm wrong. No, it has to be corrected. But they're willing to correct it. You know, what would you say? You know, like that. The kid does something wrong, then the parents say, oh, you know, it's not my kid, it's your kid. You know, no, I think the baby's got switched at the, you know. You know, is it? You know what I'm saying? You know, call up the hospital. Hey, you know, this is not our kid. You know what I'm saying? How is the kid going to feel? Right? So the whole point is... Yeah. So then that's the whole point, is that how will that be inspired? How does that make anybody feel better? It doesn't make anybody feel... And if it does make somebody feel better, there's something wrong with that person. So the point is that you don't preach. If people are acting like your standard medieval crowd, though they claim to be modern, educated, you know, democratic and all this kind of jazz, but they're no different than a medieval crowd. You know, oh, they don't have pitchforks, and they don't, not covered with cow dung, because they wouldn't want to get so close to the cows anyway. So the whole point is but then what happened? What are you supposed to educate them? No, we're just supposed to manage. So how is that superior? We came here to educate. That's how we'll get something done. If you can't educate them, then let someone else who can do it. And continue managing. But the point is let the preachers do the preaching. Not that we don't need preaching, we just will make people happy by management. No one's ever been happy, especially from that culture, because everybody is always wary of the government. Like that. So it's like, you know, so how is that going to be any different? How is it going to be better? It doesn't work. It doesn't work, hasn't worked, won't work. That's why Prabhupada didn't do it that way. And what Prabhupada did worked. You can't say, well, we're not Prabhupada. Yes, we're not. But we're also not in a position to not follow what he did. Otherwise, then we're like, you know, the archangel. You know, we're not God, but no, we're separate, we're independent. Yeah, so it doesn't work. Okay, we'll stop here.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta, Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Gaurinathai Gaur.